This netcast is brought to you by the 8 Days of Geek Network.
Only your ears are belong to us.
Error Code 8 is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/8DAG. On this episode of Error Code 8, On Live is still alive, Radio Shack's got a brand new bag, and AT&T details something else that's just gonna piss me off. Stay tuned. Hello, folks, and welcome back to another episode of Error Code 8. I'm your host, Jesse Miller, and joining me, as always, the Techno-Gaelic, Sam Briggs.
Hello, and welcome back.
And if you don't notice, I sound so much better right now than I have sounded in the last couple episodes, because we have done every one of them in the morning, and in the morning, I am notorious for having the most horrible allergies ever.
So you sound tremendously better.
I know, right? I've actually got the voice that I normally have, and instead of this one, which I have all the time when my allergies are doing it. So, and I may or may not have been drinking, but we're going to move on from that topic and instead move on to some tech news. Yay, tech news! First thing on our list is On Live. Remember, I've talked about the On Live service quite a bit. I'm a big fan of theirs. I think they are before their time, but they were doing very well, I thought. Anyway, maybe not. It's what's turning out to be. On Live, in like one day, there was nothing leading up to this. And in one day, the company fired everybody, sold itself, and then rehired some people. Yeah, exactly.
Very complicated day.
It was a rough day for On Live. So basically what happened is, because of the massive overhead that On Live had because of all their servers, they basically had to avoid bankruptcy, they had to lay off all of their employees and all their stock option holding, you know, CEOs and or executives and all that stuff in order to sell the company completely free of all of that extra crap. You know, no one wants to really buy all of that. And then the investor, and it is a single person who bought this, and he's supposedly a very well-known venture capitalist, so they haven't really announced who it is, but this one guy bought the entire company and hired on some of the employees. Now, from what I understand, I think there was somewhere around 200 employees on Live. He was not able to hire them all back. He did hire back quite a few, but he couldn't take them all. That's understandable. At least he had the good, you know, the good sense to hire some of them back.
Well, they know how to run the business.
Exactly. And Live has said that they are continuing business as usual under the exact same name. Nothing really will change. This was just a way for them to avoid going bankrupt. Mm-hmm. You know, it's definitely some kind of business poker hand that I never saw coming. But it makes complete sense, because On Live, basically, what they said is they bought all of their server equipment and their network and everything like that for the absolute largest amount of users that they would have at any one, you know, at concurrent users at any one time. The problem is they grossly overestimated, because I think they had somewhere like enough for somewhere like 8,000, you know, it was a ridiculous number of users at any one time, and they only ended up being somewhere around 1,800.
Total.
Yeah.
I mean, they expected five times that amount just in use at a average point in time. So yeah, what I think hurt them tremendously is their inability to advertise due to the exceptional cost of what they expected You know, it's something that with a little bit of pushing and such, but you don't see a lot of advertisements for on live, and I'm sure that really hurt them.
I'm sure it did, because it is, I mean, I think personally, you know, I'm a big PC gamer. I enjoy my PC games a lot, and I have, you know, I play games on my Mac all the time. The thing is, you know, I understand completely not everyone can buy a PC gaming rig. They are ridiculously expensive. They go out of date way too fast, and then you have to update them again just to keep them relevant to play the newest games. That is completely 100% understandable, and because of that, I think cloud streaming services like this are the future of gaming. Not necessarily console gaming or anything like that, but PC gaming specifically. And in all honesty, anything that's graphic intensive, I can see this kind of being the future of it.
Oh, hands down. I mean, the thing is imagine with services like Google Fiber, where their free version will be able to stream the majority of the games out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, definitely.
And that's something that obviously it's the future, very obviously. People prefer to use Netflix and use various movie services for their movies. They don't really care about going out and getting them anymore. The same will happen for gaming, especially as gaming takes on more and more and more casual players, which it has been. That's been the trend for the last 5 years. So this service will take off. They are definitely ahead of their time.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, the fact that you'll be able to buy a game and play it on any computer that you can install the OnLive client onto, no matter if it's your, you know, your nettop, even. Nettop's one of the most underpowered computers ever, can play this game or play games on OnLive. Now, what I see is I don't just see this for gaming. I see this as being, you know, an internet cafe, for instance. It's expensive to have all these internet cafes, and a lot of them are built for gaming. It's expensive for them to build so many gaming PCs and have them available. And, you know, I mean, that's power, that's overhead for the PCs themselves, and that's upkeep. What if, instead of that, you have a solid-state thin client that plugs into your giant pipe going into the internet, and all of a sudden, all you have to do is pay your monthly, you know, you pay your monthly fee, and the next thing you know, boom, all these PCs have everything that they need. So it's really, truly a, I see it as being one of the things we're going to get in the future.
Oh.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm glad that OnLive was able to find a way to keep going, because I truly think they will hit their stride at one point or another. And the Oya system, I think, is going to be a big boon for them, because they did say that they are going to be supporting that system. And because of that, you know, I mean, you're going to get all these high-quality games just for the cost of your internet. It's really great. Next on our list is Google. Whenever the last Google keynote happened, they announced all kinds of good stuff. And one of the things they announced, it sounded like you just headbutted your microphone.
That was not me.
It might not have been a good story, but you don't have to headbutt your microphone. Anyway, one of the things they announced was the fact that Google Play, the Play Store, is going to allow you to, whenever you do an update, instead of updating the entire app every single time, which is getting harder and harder with as big as apps are getting nowadays, you will be able to download the update, and it will be just the things that have changed, which will save you data, battery, and time. We didn't know when this was going to happen, and it has been confirmed that Google has enabled this feature on the Play Store now. So, I mean, granted, I think this is something that the developers have to enable also. I'm not positive, but because Google hasn't even really said if it's a the developers have to tell them what changed, or if they have to package it differently or whatever. But the fact of the matter is that now, from this day on, more and more apps will allow you to simply update the little pieces that have changed. And if you're talking just bug fixes, that's going to be pretty fast, you know?
It's going to help tremendously over the long term, now that everyone's going to share plans, that's where you'll see this be a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful feature.
Screw share plans.
Indeed.
We'll get to those later. I got a whole rant ready, boiling in the back of my skull. Anyway, Radio Shack has, you know, they're pretty big in the cell phone market. Actually, it's where I buy my phones. And they have all kinds, all flavors of pay-as-you-go phones. There are rumors going around, and a little bit of a leak has popped up saying that Radio Shack is going to be giving out their own no-contract wireless service around September 5th. Now, it is just a rumor, but from what we can tell, it's going to be no-contract service powered by Cricket. Cricket is by themselves a no-contract service. They're just, you know, they're kind of their own carrier. I believe Cricket, I'm pretty sure Cricket actually is a CDMA.
If I recall correctly, yes.
Yeah, so they would be piggybacking on either Sprint or Verizon's network.
Verizon, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, this is a, this could be nice. You know, I mean, it's basically Cricket service, but it would be localized to your local Radio Shack store. So you can go in there and pay your bill if you need to.
I'll say definitely a unique strategy, considering that there are quite a few people who go to Radio Shack very dedicatedly. So this is one of those things where if you have a person you always deal with, just even more customized service. So definitely a way to differentiate Radio Shack from Best Buy and certain other retailers.
Very true, very true. All right, like I said, this is still a rumor, so we don't have any kind of pricing or, you know, anything like that. But this is, you know, I mean, could be cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of Cricket's big things is no contracts, no hidden fees, and no credit checks. This gets more people into a cell phone because, you know, I mean, it's getting harder and harder to get a good cell phone nowadays because of the economy the way it is.
Well, and it also is just more competition. It's one of those things that as the carriers, the contract carriers, choose to get more and more expensive, and not always at the sake of innovation and advancement, we need competition to keep them in check. And right now, we don't really have that. So any attempt to help balance the playing field, I'm all for.
Good stuff. All right, next. You know, I bought a Galaxy S3. Okay, so, I mean, and this, let me tell you, this phone is absolutely unbelievable. It is amazing in every way that matters. And there's a rumor going around that Samsung is going to have a new device coming out, the Galaxy S2 Plus. What's the point in that? let me go through the rumored specs of this phone. It looks very, very, very similar to the regular S2. There's, you know, I mean, even the back looks the same. So what we're seeing here is that it's going to have rumored to have a 4.5-inch AMOLED display alongside a dual core 1.5 gigahertz Exynos CPU. With 1 gigabyte of RAM, 16 gigabytes of built-in storage, and a 8-megapixel rear camera. It's supposed to be ice cream sandwich. Again, I don't completely understand the reasoning. I mean, what do you think is the reasoning for Samsung putting out something like this?
Oh, what does Samsung do? Like, they copy Apple.
Yeah.
Apple has a very expensive flagship device, but they always make sure they have a step down that's slightly cheaper to hit the other market, the people who don't want to pay the money for a more expensive phone. Samsung has the leading Galaxy S3. However, the Galaxy S2 design is a little out of date.
That's true, yeah.
So you refresh it, you launch it, get it right there next to you. Well, if the S3 is too expensive for you, how about the S2 Plus? They're stealing Apple's marketing scheme.
I did not think of that. That is a great... I mean, it's a good idea. I don't know how well it's going to hold up for them because, you know, I mean... I've never even completely understood why people buy the cheaper iPhones. You know, I mean, I understand some people either they don't have the money to buy the newest of the new or they just don't care. But, I mean, you're just setting yourself up for failure if you don't buy the newer phone because the way phones progress, I mean, the newest phone is out of date in 6 months anyway.
But that's not so terribly true with Apple, who is very good at rolling updates back through, you know, it works for Apple because they do get their updates out to the previous ones.
Yeah, well, it works for, technically works for Android really well because we can install the newest operating system even if the manufacturers don't want us to.
That still requires a little know-how. It definitely, I would like a figure on how many Android users actually go through to install a ROM.
I think you'd probably be very surprised at how high that number is.
The thing is, I would think it would be anywhere between 30 to 35% is what I would guess. Because, and the reason I'm putting it at that is mostly is how do you count you who probably have done it to your friends' phones, who would have never done it, would have never installed their own ROM, but you've done it. Whereas those people, when they go and upgrade, they'll probably never do it again unless they have another person like you to do it.
That's true, I guess.
It's kind of hard to get an estimate of how many people are actually comfortable doing that and how many are comfortable with their friends doing it.
Yeah, everybody's got a friend like me, you know?
This is true.
Who's willing to do that for you? So,
and those listeners who don't have a friend who are comfortable doing it,
do not email me.
don't email Jesse. But pretty much just go to a Starbucks and look for the one guy not using the iPhone at the Starbucks. He knows how to do it.
That's true.
Because he's that kind of hipster.
He's that guy. But also, you know, I say don't email me. But if you'd like any kind of information on rooting, if you do have any questions, you can email me. I've rooted pretty much every Android phone I've ever had, and a few that I didn't actually have. They belong to other people. So, you know, I can... everything's online anyway, but if you do have your questions and your doubts, you know, email me, and I'll try to answer you back. Or get a hold of me on Twitter. So, anyway, we're going to have to see what happens here. It's, like I said, it's the Galaxy S2 Plus. It is a very big rumor right now. And the specs look, I mean, impressive, but it is an older design, so it's, like Sam said, it's probably going to be the one step down from the S3 type deal.
Right.
And now, for the one thing that makes my blood boil more than anything else. AT&T. My most hated three letters in the world. As far as I'm concerned, you could take T out of the alphabet and start it at B just to get rid of this company. All right. Sam, this is your story. Do you want to take it or you want to let me rant?
Well, I will take it. However, okay. I will just explain what they say, and then you can just go off that way.
Okay.
For those people who just want a neutral position, because I will tell it neutrally, but I'm already siding with you. So
you had better be.
All right. Well, AT&T, a while back there was a rumor that they were going to charge for using FaceTime over their cellular network. Well, it turns out that that wasn't quite true. They aren't going to charge for FaceTime. However, you are only going to be able to use it if you are on a mobile share plan. That's where you share the data between all your devices, which means you pay per usage, effectively. FaceTime uses a lot of data. So you will end up probably accruing a bit of expenses in regards to the mobile share. But let's say you don't have mobile share. Let's say you're on an old unlimited plan, or you know, even just a pay-per-use that wasn't mobile share. You can't use it at all whatsoever. You have to change to a mobile share plan if you want to use FaceTime. Jesse?
Hold on, let me crack my neck here.
Ooh, that picked up over the mic just fine.
I was really hoping it would. All right, so I've stretched. I'm going to take a sip of my liquid libation. Let me begin. AT&T, you bastardized version of a company. Basically, to me, what this is, and I chastise Verizon for doing this exact same thing. They had a deal where you had to upgrade to their tiered data plan in order to use a phone feature that used a lot of data. This is even worse, because now you have to be on a very specific plan. So not only can you not be on your grandfathered unlimited plan, not only can you not be on their retarded, just completely moronic tiered data plans, but now you have to be on their horribly complicated family-only shared plans. How ridiculous is that? Okay, number one, I'll tear this apart a piece at a time. Number one, it's a dick move. Number two, it's just to get people to upgrade into those shared plans. Number three, what if somebody doesn't have a family plan? You are completely, you know, putting eligible bachelors out in the dark because they don't use a family share plan. There is no reason for that.
Even for a single line, it's too expensive.
Exactly. And, I mean, for a single line, like I said, you don't even need the mobile share because you're not adding any other lines. There's no reason to have it. It's stupid. That's the only way of putting it. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. It is simply a way... And AT&T, when they first switched over to tiered data, when they reduced their... you know, unlimited data to a monthly cap. The first thing that Ralph DeLaVega said in his earnings call is when someone expressed the worry, when a stockholder expressed the worry that, you know, if we start doing this and people don't like it, and they've already shown they don't like it, aren't they going to leave AT&T and that's going to cost us money? Ralph DeLaVega said, and I'm not quoting because I can't remember the exact quote, but he said, people won't move from AT&T because the majority of our subscribers are on family plans with different upgrade dates for each phone, meaning it is too costly and too complicated for them to move their entire family to a different service. He didn't say, our service is just so damn great that they just can't leave. No, he said, you are locked in because they specifically make it complicated enough that you don't want to leave.
Yep.
That is basically what's going on here. They want people to get into these more convoluted, complicated plans simply so that they can lock you in even harder. Because AT&T knows their service sucks in a lot of areas. They know that their plans are ridiculously overpriced. And granted, they are on par with Verizon, but Verizon's overpriced, so it doesn't matter. They are overpriced and they are overcomplicated. So they want you to be in on this. Number one, you know, if you have so many things on your bill that are added in, texting, data, messaging, you know, a family locator, minutes, insurance, all these things put together, it's easier for them to change little bitty things than you would never notice. It's easier for them to lie about your usage to you like they did to me when they did tiered data. And it's also easier for them to tack on little bitty charges and weasel you for even more money than you already pay them, which is already an exuberant amount. That's really...
Feel better?
Yeah, I do feel better, and I'm going to get another one of those. And now I feel much better about myself. So AT&T, get your head out of your ass. It's
exactly.
Really far up there. Really
now,
far.
for those of you worried, you can still use FaceTime over Wi-Fi. In fact, I recommend you take your iPhone and see if you can't move to another carrier. However, if you can't do that, use it over Wi-Fi.
True. And if you can't, if you don't want to wait to use it over Wi-Fi and you don't want to move to another carrier, guess what? There are entire groups of people that specifically make code to where your iPhone doesn't have to do what AT&T wants it to do. They're called jailbreakers. If you jailbreak any of the iPhone devices, and all of them are capable of being jailbroken right now, every single solitary one of them. If you jailbreak your device, there are multiple Cydia apps that you can download that trick your phone into thinking it is attached to Wi-Fi, no matter if you are or if you're on 3G. Meaning, not only can you FaceTime over 3G, regardless of whether or not AT&T will quote-unquote let you, but then you can also download things over 5 megabytes, which has been a built-in limit of the iPhone ever since it was made. So go to the Cydia App Store after you've jailbroken. It's incredibly easy to do nowadays. You have no reason not to if this is something you're interested in. It takes literally minutes. There is one app. Used to, you had to press a few buttons on the phone and restart it and do all this stuff. You don't even have to do that anymore. You'll plug it in, start the app, hit jailbreak. When the app says, your phone's done, you unplug it and you're good to go. Cydia is on there. It's jailbroken. You just go in, install this kind of a code. AT&T can't stop you.
And for those of you who are still on an old unlimited plan somehow, please, at the end of your billing cycle or anything, try to download and use your internet as much as possible.
Yes.
So that you can slaughter their service in that area. Band
exactly.
together. In fact, form groups online and all meet up and go to places. Like, go to their press events and all get on
your
internet. Your unlimited internet and just eat their data alive.
Yes, just stream Netflix the whole time. And yes, they will throttle you after... I think they throttle you after 5 if you have an unlimited plan. I'm pretty
That's
sure.
That's fine.
But
you can still stream.
Yeah. Even if you're throttled, stream away. You know, I mean, at the end of your billing cycle, if you haven't hit 5 gigs yet, do something. It doesn't matter what you do.
We need to start organizing these.
We do. I got a couple domain ideas. I'm actually going to reserve them right now. Just to make sure that everyone uses your AT&T data. You know, it's going to be called kick AT&T in the taint.com. No. It'd be a good one, though. Actually, you know, this podcast has been so short, I completely and utterly forgot to do our ad.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, I know, right? So, I'm going to do an ad right now, and we're going to come back with some more interesting tidbits. So, Audible.com. They're basically a great place for you to go and get audiobooks. Audiobooks are a great way for you to spend time in your car. So, you know, that means, hey, if you drive anywhere, if you work out, anything like that, it's great to have an audiobook to listen to. Audible has over 100,000 titles that you can download. They have iOS apps, they have an Android app, they have a Windows Phone app, and they work on pretty much somewhere over 500 MP3 players. So, it's a very great thing for you to get an audiobook. We have a special deal. It's audibletrial.com/8DAG. If you go there, you can get a free audiobook and a 30-day free trial of the service. The membership gives you 25% off of any book that they have in their inventory and a free credit every month if you sign up for the Gold Plan. Gold Plan, I believe, is $15 a month. And like I said, that credit goes for any one credit book in the store. We're trying to give you a suggestion every week. And this week's suggestion is What Would Google Do? By Jeff Jarvis. This guy is one of my personal heroes. Jeff Jarvis is a great blogger and media pundit. This was his first book. He actually has a second book out, and I'm going to wait till next episode to suggest that one, I think. But What Would Google Do? Basically tears down how Google runs its business and uses it to teach you kind of how, you know, successful people run a business. It also shows us how Google has changed our lives and all of the services that it provides. It's a really great book. It's very insightful. Jeff Jarvis actually narrates it. He is very easy to listen to. He's very easy on the ears. So, you know, it's a great thing to pick up. It is one credit. And like I said, if you sign up for the monthly plan through our URL, audibletrial.com/8DAG, you get to get a free audiobook. You can make that your free audiobook, or you can pick any other book you want. And at the end of the 30 days, if you decide not to keep the service, guess what? You can go ahead and cancel it if you need to, and you get to keep the audiobook free of charge forever and ever and ever. So we don't limit it like AT&T does. So yeah, it's a great place to go get audiobooks. Check it out, audibletrial.com/8DAG. All right, a couple things that aren't actually on our notes. Yeah, I'm bringing you extra added goodness.
No. And these are improv.
I know, right? These are just going to be snippets. There's nothing incredibly important that we really need to talk about. They're just some things. They're basically their backup stories. I have backup stories for every episode, just in case we run out of stuff to say. Of course, I never run out of things to say, but you never know. First thing, NBC News has an app for the 360. This, to me, I recently read a very great editorial, I believe it was on Engadget.com, that talks about cord cutting. And I was actually a guest host on our All the Rage Entertainment TV podcast. Now, I watch a reasonable amount of TV, but the thing is, everyone says, oh, did you catch that show? I'm like, oh, yeah, I love that show. And they're like, hey, do you watch a lot of TV? And I say, no, I don't even have TV. And they're like, well, how'd you watch that show? And I said, well, I cut the cable. I cut the cable literally like 2 years ago, and I haven't looked back. So the fact that NBC is bringing a news app to the 360 just warms my heart, because this is a great thing to do. Cut the cable. Because the fact that they charge over $100 for a premium cable service for TV, and you can get most of that crap online. And in all honesty, have any of us not been sitting around trying to watch TV and realizing we have 3,000 channels and absolutely nothing is on except for Chuck Norris's Total Gym commercial? I mean,
well, it's entertaining. I would actually prefer that all 3,000 channels be Chuck Norris Total Gym.
On the Total Gym, right?
At different times of the day, in different poses,
yeah,
different outfits.
Yeah. That makes complete sense. Let's do it that way. it's not for everybody. Some people like the convenience of TV, you know, anytime you want it. Via you just slick it on, and some people are addicted to channel surfing. I've realized this very, very quickly. People do not like when they come over to my house and they're watching TV. I don't know what it is, but like they'll sit down and I'll hand them the remote and I'll say, you know, just pick something off the server, and you know, I show them where the data is on the server, and I have a whole big server rack downstairs. It keeps all of my media in one place. I'm like, this is every movie I own. This is every TV show I own. You just pick some. It's all very organized, very to the point. And for some reason, they don't like it. They're like, can I just surf? It's like, no, you can't surf. It's like, what do you want to watch? Comedy? Well, go to the comedy folder, you dumbass.
It's all there.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there are people who are actually addicted to surfing. And I think those people have a problem cutting the cord because of that reason. You can't surf on my TV. One of the other things I'd like to mention is that one of the big things missing from the Google Play Store is being able to buy gift cards for people. Android has never had this ability. iTunes has had this ability since pretty much the beginning. Google has officially announced that they are going to be rolling out to Target, Radio Shack, and GameStop Google Play gift cards. You can use them anywhere in the Google Play store. They come in $10, $25, and $50 denominations. And now we can all ask for Google apps for Christmas. Yay!
Woohoo!
You know, it's pretty cool. That's one of the things, like I said, has really been missing from Google Play. I don't know if, you know, it's something everybody needs, but
More so now that they are in the realm of movies and music and everything all in one place. I mean, this is something that iTunes was from the start, whereas Google, even though they've offered the services for a while, they've just pulled it all together. So it definitely makes sense now to have gift cards available.
Very true. Another thing we want to hit on, Microsoft has officially opened the $15 Windows 8 upgrade registration if you purchased a Windows 7 PC. You'll have until February 28th of 2013 to do it. You have to have purchased your Windows 7 PC between June 2nd and January 31st of 2013, which means you can go purchase one right now and upgrade it. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yep. Also, for those of you interested in wanting to know more about Windows 8, look in September, specifically September 5th. There's going to be an event for Windows Phone 8 with Nokia. So that's September 5th is a very busy day.
Very busy day. It's got like, who was it?
Motorola, Verizon.
Uh huh.
They've got Nokia, Microsoft.
Okay.
That's the Radio Shack announcement.
Man. September 5th is going to be a wicked day, man.
The Radio Shack announcement? The room. Yeah.
The general scuttlebutt is that Apple's announcement is going to be on the 12th?
Yes.
And then to 12th?
September 12th.
Man, September is going to be whack.
Yeah, September is an absolutely insane month for technology. If any of you out there are looking to upgrade, like if you're eligible now, you're about to go out and get a phone tomorrow, stop. Don't do it. Wait until September, because the September is going to be an absolutely crazy month for technology. We should see Motorola's new flagship device. We should see Nokia's new flagship device. Obviously, we'll see Apple's new flagship device. Just hold on.
Great. Also, last thing I want to mention, Samsung Galaxy S3 on Verizon has officially gotten a one-click bootloader unlock. Remember, we talked about the fact that Samsung offered an unlocked bootloader version that you could buy off contract on their website, but the Verizon version was the only S3 that had a locked bootloader. Shame on you, Verizon. That is dumb. You're right up there with AT&T, I swear to God. So now, not only can you do this easily, which was the case before, I mean, unlocking the bootloader wasn't that hard when it first came out. Now, there is actually an app in the Google Play Store. As long as your phone has root access, you can unlock your bootloader completely with, like, one click.
Interesting.
Which makes it very easy for you to install custom ROMs of all flavors. And yes, CyanogenMod 10, I said that was the last thing, but I got one more. CyanogenMod 10 has been released as nightlies for a lot of the Samsung Galaxy S3 phones. They have a long list of other phones that are going to start getting nightlies of the custom ROM. Galaxy S3 is just the one I have, so I know it's on there. It's, like I said, CyanogenMod 10 is the Jelly Bean version of CyanogenMod. It's not looking like it has a whole lot of bugs right now, which, I mean, considering Jelly Bean is so close to Ice Cream Sandwich, I wouldn't suspect there to be a lot of bugs or a lot of things you'd have to work around.
Now, most of the drivers should transfer pretty evenly between the two. There was no infrastructure changes between the two.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so. Yeah.
So there has been, for the last few, last four releases, Android underwent some major structural changes.
Yes.
That's why none of the devices have been getting upgrades in the last year. You know, this drastic change after drastic change.
Exactly. Okay, guys, that's all we have for this episode. Sam?
Hold on. Can I sneak one little thing in there?
Sure, why not?
Yay. All right. Since this is kind of technology is based on science, this is more science related than tech. But we ended up here with computers and cell phones all because that at one point in time, mankind picked up a rock, smashed it against another rock, and then proceeded to smash more things with rocks.
Especially their bad guys' heads.
Exactly. Well, for those of you science and evolutionary geeks out there has been a bonobo that they have not only successfully trained to use rocks and flint, but they put it through a series of tests to design and use rock-made tools to get into logs with food. And out of 24 logs, it got into 24 of them, making chisels and hand drills and other little weird things like that to get to the food, which is amazing.
So you're speaking, of course, of the Pan Paniscus.
Otherwise, that is correct.
Or higher classification, chimpanzee. It's called a pygmy chimpanzee. Thank you, Google. Yep.
This is off the top of my head. I'm laying on my back. I want to say the other one is a pan troglodyte.
I didn't look that up.
So go ahead and look it up, if I remember correctly.
Okay, what am I looking up?
No, just look up chimpanzee on like Wikipedia or something like that, or Google, and it should be a pan troglodyte.
Okay. We'll go to Wikipedia, because we know they're always right.
They are
pan troglodyte. Good job.
Off the top of my head.
Congratulations.
The only reason I remember that is because a troglodyte is in Dungeons and Dragons and it's a reptilian lizard thing. Doesn't make sense.
I say that's a little weird.
I know.
Okay. Anyway, so that's cool. Gotta love the reenactment of 2001: A Space Odyssey.
Oh yeah. And eventually, you know, they'll start making their own computers and, you know, guns, and soon we'll have Planet of the Apes, and
exactly,
we will be extinct.
I can't wait. Then I won't have to listen to AT&T anymore.
I'm going to say AT&T's already ran by a bunch of monkeys. So
we'll get along, the damn dirty apes. Okay, Sam, would you tell the people where they can find, follow, and or stalk you?
You can find me at about.me/SamBriggs. And that is got all of my Facebook and Twitter. For those of you who are too lazy to go to about.me or for whatever reason can't, at TechnoGaelic on Twitter, TechnoGaelic@gmail.com, and Facebook.com/TechnoGaelic will pull me up in all other places.
Good stuff. If you'd like to find me, I am on Twitter. My username is @PenOfDoom. You can email me, jesse@8daysageek.com, or you can go to about.me/JesseMiller and find out everything about me. And people make fun of me because I say all of that in that exact same cadence every single time. Let me tell you, once you remember something, it's hard to say it differently.
True.
It's saying. Why
everybody says the ABCs the same way.
Exactly. See what I'm saying? All right. I'm glad I'm not alone in this. So, guys, thanks for listening to us and bearing with us. You know, it's all fun and games till someone narcs on AT&T, and then, you know, then daddy hits mommy at the dinner table, and we all try to continue to eat dinner and pretend nothing happened. This took a dark turn.
Also, I completely forgot.
Oh, no.
In September. September's a big month. Open WebOS launches. Look forward to that.
Oh, man. I was hoping we'd get through the whole thing without saying WebOS one time.
Nope. Not this time.
All right, guys. Thanks. And Sam, say goodbye.
Goodbye.